it's fun every now and then to have a little more elbow room and not have to kind of race from one topic to the other. And that's what we're doing in this hour of the program, because it's a three-hour show today. By the way, if you are listening to us right now and you've got a problem with your computer or with anything that has to do with the digital world, stay tuned, because at the top of the hour, at 6 o'clock, we're going to be opening up our phone lines, and you'll be able to call in 800-859-0957 with your question. And we've got some guys in here, Ed and Shane and Gary, who will be more than happy to put their expertise to help your problem, help solve that problem. Right now, however, it's just kind of a lot of fun. We're talking with Stephen Sadler, who's in studio. Steve, thank you for coming in again. And we've been talking about your brand-new book called Mindset. You've had a lot. You've had your hands in the digital world. God, sounds funny, because it's not a corporeal place, but you've really been involved in inventing applications and doing a lot of things there. You kind of stepped outside of that, or maybe deeper into it, and imagined a device called Mindset, and that's the basis for your book. And as you were saying before, the device essentially is able to kind of eventually read your thoughts.
That's correct.
That's just the beginning, though, of its capabilities, right?
Well, that's what he designed it to do. What ends up happening is...
Your hero.
Right, the hero, Jack Cooper. Right. What happens is a venture capital firm starts to back it, and they decide that they have other reasons for using the technology. So they want to actually put thoughts into people's head and actually reinforce the pleasure center of the brain they place the thought there. So, for example, if someone's running for... president or, a political position, they send out the signal, which is kind of like a tweet, which has the brainwave in it, reinforces the brainwave with a little bit of serotonin. All of a sudden, that person's voting for that person.
You know, and this reminds me of the typical thing that happens. You have a scientist or an engineer that does something, and they think only good things can come of their product until someone else gets a hold of it and they turn it to evil use.
Well, I think of the internet, period. The internet.
Yes.
Which was just invented to be a way of efficiently communicating information back and forth.
That's right.
In large quantities between specific points, right?
Well, between any point.
With ARPANET.
Which was the neat thing, and it was really back in 73 when Bob Kahn and Vint Cerf invented TCP/IP, which was the protocol, and gave it away to everybody,
mm-hmm.
right? And that was it. Anybody that installed that protocol onto your computer, you could then... communicate with anybody else that had that.
Yes,
so it wasn't proprietary.
And that's like the
basis.
That
was the start of it.
It's incredible.
And I'm sure they were not thinking of, of dastardly things.
No, they weren't thinking of the dark web or bitcoins or hacking 80 million, health records or anything else like that. But Ed, you've got to be, you were a tinkerer. You can imagine this happening, right?
Oh, yeah. I can see this happening. Easily.
So the idea is that this is a benign thing that he's developed initially that is then turned around to being something that's used to manipulate people.
Yeah. And it's a novel, but like we were talking briefly in the other segment, I think this is not that far from reality. And, in some respects, anytime we invent good technology for good, it can be turned around.
Do you think do you think this device could be built right now?
Parts of it. I think if it was backed by enough money, I do, actually.
So, I trust an awful lot of what you say, because when I look at your website, it lists all of your patents that you have, and you were actually going to invent this type of technology. You just didn't have the resources to actually go do it, right?
Well, I've got to the point in my life where I'm tired of just, going after investors and creating another business plan and doing all that stuff. And actually, I put that in the foreword of the book. If you can do anything, you put enough money behind it, you can do anything. And I could actually see this happening. I could.
Yeah. And there's bits and pieces of the technology that are already in use. We're talking, we've been talking a little bit about reading mind waves.
Mm-hmm.
We already do that. It's just too expensive to do that on a mass scale right now.
That's
right. I was just looking at just kind of thumbing through and looking at a little bit of the book, and your hero Jack at one point rips the set off of his head and throws it away,
right?
Because he realizes that it's having an effect on him.
Right.
Are you ever tempted to just kind of throw away all the digital stuff and find a cave somewhere?
Well, I just switched to this new iPhone 6 Plus.
Yeah,
I love mine.
Yeah, that one too.
it's like a drug.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think my wife would agree, you know. It's like it's just like you can't get enough of it, right? I mean, it's a very cool experience, and it sucks you in.
Yeah,
so,
it's always with you, and it's right. big enough you can actually almost use it as an iPad, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's like having a computer with you all the time.
And then I look at my grandson, who's 11 years old, Jack. God bless him. He's a bright, bright kid. But he is constantly plugged into something. Mm-hmm. Constantly.
Yep. And you know, I've heard several reports about, you know, sometimes you just need to unplug to mm-hmm. get that creative side of yourself flowing again. And that's something that you said, is that, you know, when you're flying between here and L.A. and you got all that white noise and then engine noise, is when you find yourself, you're unplugged and you just let the creativity flow. And for yourself, that's probably worked out very well with this book. And with my kids, I had to have them unplug all the time, just so that they could just, you know, let that creativity side of themselves.
You know, I would be interested in the rest of your comments about this, because my son thinks that he's more creative when he's collaborating with others, because he'll do something, somebody will add to it, somebody else will add to it, they're collaborating, and they do that very, very quickly online,
yep.
and they come up with something better than any of them could have done on their
own. Shane, you're shaking your head.
No. You can definitely collaborate with other people, but I think then you kind of, sometimes I think if it's with friends, you're supporting bad ideas because you don't want to either hurt the other person's feelings.
But down
the
side,
if it's by yourself, you can go, oh, that was stupid, or no, that let's move on.
Most of the time you don't do that was stupid when you need that. Somebody to tell you it was.
Oh,
right?
Well.
But I don't know. It's just, I think there's different ways.
Well, and at that age, kids are just hardwired for communication. Mm-hmm. To do exactly what you said, collaboration. And you're right, some very creative stuff can come out of that. I'm talking the very young, 8 years old. Moms throwing their iPads in the back seat so their 3-year-old will stop screaming. I mean, that's just not right. You know,
it's become an electronic pacifier in that sense.
Yes,
it's kind of built. If you see any new invention, whether it's the HoloLens or whatever it was, or with Kinect, that ability to talk to a machine, they're all built as this is going to enhance us. And I think we've kind of, as a culture, at least here in the United States, I think in the Western world as in general, we've bought that this is enhancing us somehow. When in reality, your book is kind of saying, yeah, but you know what? You're also giving up something. You're giving up something of your person. Is that part of the message you're getting with this, Steve?
Yeah, in a way. I mean, you could either be, you can absorb content or you can create content, right? I think we become to the point where all we do is take in content. And if you go, we're spending a lot of time in L.A., I see the people that are the most successful are obviously the ones that make movies, the ones that create the content on the other side. I don't think there's a balance anymore with the way that, you know, we are as a population. We're taking in all this content, but we're not producing anything anymore.
Yeah.
And that needs to be, you have to equal that out somehow. And with this technology, obviously, I mean, this goes beyond it, because now they're going to be broadcasting directly inside your mind when you don't want them to.
Right.
And that takes content to a
whole different level. Well, you know, I'm interested, Stephen. You actually are the expert here, because you have you have a patent around social media campaign system,
mm-hmm.
And you've been working with social media for, you know, probably longer than all of us. You know, does social media help make you a little more creative? Does it destroy that creativity? I know it might be different for different people, but what's your opinion on this?
I think it does both. I mean, you know, some people will just go onto Facebook and they'll sit there all day long and read everyone else's content. Or B, they'll be creative and they'll make, you know, a cool picture, a cool video, and then they
You're
become
right.
the broadcaster. So
that's interesting, yeah.
Right. I mean, it is, all of those social media sites, they, for the longest time, nobody wanted to call social media broadcast, but it is.
It is, yeah.
It's a sounding board for everyone.
And it allows everybody to broadcast, right? It allows everybody to be creative where other people can see it.
Absolutely.
And, right, and it's what Cal used to talk about, you know, consumption and production. And very similar to what you're saying, or exactly what you're saying, you know, that, you know, the iPad is a consumption device, not necessarily a device used for production, like the Windows Surface is used for production.
And that's why I have both sitting right in front of me.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Shane, how do you balance that out then? How do you balance that? As you say, more information coming in, so we're kind of swelling with all this information we've got. But
it's hard because I'm always constantly thinking, boy, this is something else. I'm sitting here hours, you know, taking in all this information, and you almost feel like guilty not putting anything out. Like, you force yourself sometimes to put something out there so you don't feel like that lurch.
Well, that's probably pretty good, though, because now, as Steve was saying, you are creative.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm interested in the connection to the gaming world. Because, and maybe we can talk about that in just a moment when we come back, Shane and Steve Sadler. Steve Sadler, by the way, is the author of Mindset. And if you go to our site, internetadvisor.net, there's a little trailer that you can watch, a really neat one that you guys developed about Mindset, and then you'll find that right on our homepage. You can click on Play the Trailer and find out a little bit more about that. We'll be back in just a moment to continue our conversation about Mindset. The future is here right now.